Good morning, Pyle. 7 o'clock. Jim Davis, along with cake. Because cake's good any day of the week.
Maybe not always on a Monday, but
well,
if it's been in the fridge over the weekend, you know.
Some leftover cake from Thanksgiving. Though pie's normally the traditional dominant dessert, but you can have cake if you want to.
You can.
Yeah.
No one's going to stop you.
You can have your cake and eat it, too, if you choose to do so.
Love that.
All right. Thank you. All right, so we get to pass out game balls today. The Broncos.
How about that?
How about them Broncos?
I don't know how they did it.
I'm still sitting thinking. That was kind of like the team that beat the Cowboys a little bit.
A little bit.
They put a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert. Baron Browning and Kenny Young both played really well inside.
Solid.
Secondary played great.
Pat Surtain.
And if you're wondering,
my boy,
why did George Payton draft Patrick Surtain the second? PS2.
That's why.
Because you got to have guys that sling the rock in the NFL these days, particularly in the AFC West. You have to have guys to protect the guys that sling the rock, and you have to have guys that can make plays in the secondary like Patrick Surtain the second did yesterday. Two interceptions.
Really pick six.
Led to a 10-point swing because Chargers are going to get on the first one. They're going to get a field goal.
At worst,
they're going to get a field goal out of that. And he comes up with a pick that keeps them from getting at least three, if not more, but at least three. And then the pick six slams the door on the victory yesterday.
I believe it's Ryan Green. I'll have to double check, but it's he's from CBS4 in Denver. Great Twitter follow. And he posted a little GIF on Twitter of a side-by-side comparison of Pat Surtain's pick six and a pick six return by none other than Champ Bailey in Denver that was eerily similar. It was a pass that was tipped and deflected out of the receiver's hands near the 30-yard line. Champ and Pat Surtain both kind of swoop in underneath and get it and go 70 yards to the house. Eerily, creepily similar plays from two, at this point, I'll just say it, outstanding Broncos defensive backs, even if one of them is a rookie.
Two great plays. And, you know, the ball got deflected on the interception going to Austin Eckler. Congratulations to Austin Eckler and his high school alma mater, Eaton High School. They won the 2A state title over the weekend, so congratulations to them. And it was cool seeing his family there cheering him on. But I'm glad that he left Empower Field a mile high, a disappointed guy. As good of a guy as he seems to be, I'm glad he left there disappointed.
And you know what? He would be a quintessential Bronco, right?
Oh, yeah.
Undrafted, Colorado native, went to a D2 Western Colorado school. But instead of going to the Broncos, he goes to the Chargers. But it's fine.
And he's turned into a really big part of their offense.
Huge.
Talented back. But the key yesterday, one of many, they put pressure on Justin Herbert. They made him feel uncomfortable yesterday.
He was under so much duress. And you know what? Vic Fangio, we've been, and rightfully so, critical of some of his play calling over the past few weeks, particularly against the Eagles. But that was one of his best, I think, personally, one of his best calls, one of his best games that he's called defensively. Because they were just in Herbert's face on like almost every play. That the interception, the first one against him in the end zone against PS2, he had to like run out of the pocket and he like threw it like off his back foot, and it was kind of this weird angle, and he just kind of chucked it right to Pat Surtain. He just had to step in front of it because he was under so much pressure.
Now the question is, which team shows up for Sunday Night Football?
Oh, God.
The one that played yesterday, the one that went to Dallas and beat the Cowboys.
I hope so.
The one that looked like hot garbage against Philadelphia and Baltimore and the Steelers. Mm. Oh, the Steelers getting bungled yesterday. They got historically thrashed yesterday by Cincinnati.
It
wasn't even like Joe Burrow put up these huge numbers either.
He only threw for like 190 yards. I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly pedestrian numbers for that guy. But yeah, I think it was under 200. And Joe Mixon killed them.
Yeah,
killed them on the ground.
If you're a Joe Mixon fantasy owner, you're going to be happy today. Burrow, 190 yards, a touchdown and a pick. But this is the most impressive thing. 20 completions, 24 attempts.
Oh. Pretty efficient.
Joe Mixon, 28 carries, 2 touchdowns, 165 yards. He also caught 4 passes, but for minus 2.
Yeah, I still, with Joe Mixon, it's a complicated story about him.
Yeah.
If you're a Bengals fan, you have to be thrilled you have that guy. From a football player standpoint, from a human being standpoint, what he did at Oklahoma.
Not good.
You still have to.
There's a little bit of reckoning.
Yeah,
that's
still hard to just wash that away, what he did.
Yeah.
And punching the woman that he did when he was at Oklahoma. Speaking of Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley coming to the Pac-12.
I'm not going to be the head coach of LSU.
That's true. And I had a friend, my friend
Never
George.
Said anything about USC.
My friend George, that George and his wife work for the University of Oklahoma. They live like practically on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Diehard OU fans. He's texting me yesterday. Brother heard the Lincoln's going to go to USC. And I go, well, I guess he wasn't lying about not going to LSU. He just wasn't honest about staying in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You think Lincoln Riley sees the writing on the wall going forward that Oklahoma's going to go to the SEC and it's going to be tough sledding?
And you know what? Aside from Mario Cristobal in Oregon, and who knows if he goes and takes the LSU job, I don't know. But aside from that, I mean, you're right, he's not going to have as rough a go of it in the Pac. And I hate to say that as a Buffs fan, but he's not going to have as rough a go of it in the Pac-12 as he would in the SEC.
Fantastic resources at USC.
The beach.
I mean, recruiting is going to be... You know, sir, not like it was really tough to recruit to Oklahoma. I mean, come on.
No.
It's Oklahoma. But a lot of positives going to USC.
Does he bring Spencer Rattler with him?
Who knows? Maybe he hits the portal. I don't know. Maybe
maybe
Caleb Williams.
The word on the street is that if he has not done so already, Spencer Rattler is probably going to hit the portal here fairly soon.
Yeah,
We were joking about it because Friday at the Mesa basketball tournament, doing the PA for the neutral games, I was just talking to some of the crew at the athletic department for Mesa, you know, Dave Yonke and Chris Day, and we were joking, like, we could check the transfer portal. Like, we could look. Should we try to recruit him? And then I was like, how do you think Carst Hutter would feel about that? And
you know, no offense. I mean, not that having a guy that was a Heisman front runner early on in the season and I think it would be nice. I like our boy Carst Hutter personally.
I like him too, but if he maybe he maybe
wouldn't that be intriguing though if Spencer Rattler shows up on the CMU campus.
And look, you just know Tremaine would put some sense into him. Hopefully.
Probably. I don't know. I think they feel pretty good about their quarterback situation.
I think they do too.
Though if Spencer Rattler called, obviously Tremaine would certainly entertain that phone call, right? If
that might be
Coach, I'd like to transfer to CMU. Here you guys are doing some good things.
They're on a recruiting trip now. Last I checked, they were down in California doing some recruiting, so maybe it's not gonna happen. It's not
going to
happen.
And then while you had that going on, Darren Shiverini, but one time was a candidate to be the CU head football coach.
How about that?
Gone.
Three different head coaching staffs that he was under. He was under Mike McIntyre, Mel Tucker, and Carl Durrell.
Yeah.
6 years with the team, and he was, of course, former Buffs receiver, and now he's just gone. And look, he put out a statement on Twitter saying, Buff for life, loved his time here, and I don't know if he's necessarily going to get a new head coaching opportunity. Maybe he goes and becomes the new head coach of the CSU Rams or something at this rate.
Well, Steve Addazio, nice job getting tossed in the first half, yeah, Steve Addazio.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah, I look, and for Colorado, we're kind of hopping all over the place here today, but that's okay. Lots to get to.
Lots to get to.
Utah, for those in the posts that have written about Utah, Utah is the blueprint for Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with the offensive line. You know, they canned their offensive line coach this year, the Buffs did.
Yep.
And it starts with continuity at the offensive line coaching position, strength and conditioning. Mm. It begins with the ability to run the football and pass protect. Look, Brendan Lewis, not a great year. A bad year, to be quite honest, but it wasn't all on him. When you don't have time to throw the football,
right?
When you can't get the running game going consistently because your offensive line play is subpar, it's going to exacerbate the warts that a freshman quarterback already has.
Yeah,
and that's what happened this season because they've got talent at the wide receiver spot.
Brendan Rice, the son of Jerry Rice,
who
very talented receiver.
The RS kid's really good. I mean, they've got talent. Josh Penry's kid. I mean, they've got the plate here at Mesa and both Grand Junction High. Chase is a good player. They've got talent at the wide receiver spot.
When Levante Chenault is not doing very dangerous and illegal things,
yeah,
like drinking and driving,
yeah,
he can be a very talented and productive member of the Buffs. And the running game, Jarek Broussard.
Jarek Broussard's a really good player. No, they have good talent. I mean, it's not like they don't have any talent. But when your offensive line is as bad as it is for Colorado right now, and that's been the thing with Kyle Whittingham, they've hung their hat on their offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
They play great defense. They run the hell out of the football. Utah's very much a, well, what we've kind of always considered a Big Ten team, and Michigan kind of reminds us that, you know, running the football is still king at, you know, to winning and being successful in the Big Ten. We saw that with what they did to Ohio State. Sorry, Buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
This is a planned day off, by the way. He did not call in and say, I don't feel good. I can't come in today. It was a planned day off.
We already knew he wasn't going to be in today, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk more college football later, but got one other thing, too, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a good thing for me because I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. One of my CU, CSU, Iowa Hawkeyes, obviously,
the Mavs,
since, you know, yours, well, we're alums. But watching Nebraska do Nebraska things in the Heroes game on Friday, I'm just sitting there going, when they block the punt, I go, Nebraska's going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game because this is what they're no more. They were so snake bit in that series. I think what the three prior games was settled like by 12 points in the three games in the Heroes game. When they block the punt, you're going, they're screwed. Iowa's going to come back and win this game. Iowa, who's offensively challenged in their own right, but they run the hell out of the football with the Goodwin kid. The Goodson kid, excuse me. But they, you know, they block that punt. You're going, Nebraska's done here. They're done. Iowa's going to come back and win this football game. And sure enough,
wouldn't you know it,
that's what happened. Seven straight for Iowa.
Since, this is according to ABC News and Sport Radar, since 1978. When Division I football was split into what is now known as the Bowl, the FBS, no team until the 2021 Cornhuskers had 9 single-digit losses in a season. So they're 3-9. They're the best 3-9 team.
They literally could say they are the best 3-9 team in college, 3-9 team in college football. They can say that
because they're. They were just, I mean, it wasn't that they were ever really out of games. Single-digit losses in 9 of their...
Close losses to Oklahoma, Won me some money on FanDuel on that one. Close loss to Michigan. Michigan State. I mean, the list goes on and on of games. Ohio State. They were right there with Ohio State.
They were.
Yet they only won three games the entire season. And you got the sense they were just, when they got the punt blocked, they were just going to choke on it. And they did. Scotty Frost back for another season. At least he could say that number that you, hey, look.
Hey.
At least we did this.
And by the way, their combined scoring margin in the, so they finished in conference play 1-8. Would you care to guess what the scoring margin was in those 9 conference games?
Margin of loss?
Just the scoring margin.
Okay.
0.
Really?
Big old goose egg. They were not, even though they lost 8 games in the Big Ten, their win over Northwestern by 49 points was enough to get their scoring margin
up to
an even 0.
They got that going for them.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. So it's the good, the bad, the ugly for Montrose. Oh,
that hurts.
You have
such a great season, too.
2-touchdown lead, fourth quarter, onside kick. You have a fumble. And here he comes back to beat him. That's frustrating for Brett Mertens and those guys because you unfortunately you beat yourself.
Right.
And I know, but still, what an incredible season for the Montrose football team. I mean, to represent the Western Slope the way they did, the number one seed in 4A football, even though it was a disappointing loss at Erie, still congratulations to it. But stings absolutely today, I know, but still a sensational season for the Montrose Indians football team. We'll talk more about that coming up later on. So let's quickly get to...
What's happening?
We start things out. The Denver Broncos moving to second place in the AFC West after a solid 28-13 win over the LA Chargers Sunday at Empower Field in Mile High. Denver quarterback Teddy Bridgewater had a rushing and passing touchdown to lead the offense. The Broncos sustained more injuries in their offensive line and had only one week one starter in Lloyd Cushenberry on the field at the end of the game.
You know, hats off to those guys up front, man, of just, you know, competing, containing the Chargers rush, opening the holes for the running backs, protecting in the pass game. So it was great by those guys.
Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater himself left the game for a while after suffering an apparent leg injury. He did return for the Broncos. Rookie cornerback Patrick Surtain II had 2 interceptions, one of them a pick 6 as Denver moves to 6-5. The Broncos will play at Kansas City Sunday night with first place in the line. Kickoff at 6:20 on the Team Sports Network. Tonight it's Monday Night Football as the Washington football team, they square off against the Seattle Seahawks. Pregame at 5:30 for that one tonight on the Team Sports Network. All right, moving on to baseball. Fans of John Gray, well, you better become a fan of the Texas Rangers because it looks like that, according to MLB insider Jeff Passan, the Texas Rangers have agreed to a 4-year, $56 million deal with the right-hander. The 30-year-old Gray finished 2021 with a win-loss record of 8-12 and an ERA of 4.59. Reports from Ken Rosenthal, the Athletic, say the Rangers are also in the market for shortstop Trevor Story if the Rangers can't get a deal done for Corey Seager. The CU Buffs football team, they've made their decision to let go of offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach Darren Chivarini. The former Buffs receiver spent 6 years with the team under multiple coaching staffs. CU finishes 4-8 after falling to Utah Friday with an offense was ranked near the bottom in scoring and yardage in major college football. The Colorado Mesa women's basketball team improved to 5-0 after downing Montana Western 75-63 at the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. Mariah Martin led the way with a new personal best since she was at Westminster, her CMU best, a career-high 23 points, while the Mavericks had 4 players in double digits for the second game in a row. After the game, Mavs coach Taylor Wagner says he's happy with the undefeated start, but there's always room for improvement.
We got a lot of room to improve, especially going into RMAC play. A lot of tough teams, you know, no easy games this year in the RMAC. So we've got to continue to get better, and hopefully we can build. We did some good things this weekend, and there were some things that we still, you know, need to work on.
So the Maverick women winning both their games on Friday and Saturday. Likewise for the Maverick men at the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. They dominated Simon Fraser out of British Columbia 80-56 on Saturday night. Owen Kuntz, the CU transfer, led the way with his best game as a Maverick, 20 points, and he shot 89% from the field. After the game, head coach Mike DeGeorge says the depth of the team really helps, and bringing in someone like Kuntz is just icing on the cake.
I think part of the strength of having really like nine starters, which is really what we have, is that you're bringing in a guy that's a potentially all-conference kind of player into the game, and so we're able to keep them fresh. They're all really tough competitors, and they are able to play really hard.
Both Maverick basketball teams open up RMAC play, and they travel to Denver on Saturday to take on Colorado Christian. We'll have those games right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. The Montrose football team can protect a 28-14 fourth quarter lead and losing at Erie 29-28 Saturday in the 4A semis. The Indians' Blake Griffin rushed for the last two Montrose touchdowns, but the Tigers recovered an onside kick and took advantage of an Indians fumble to move on to face Chatfield in the state title game. In 3A, Meade and Fort Morgan will clash in the state title game. In 2A, Eaton beat Brush 26-14 to win state. In 1A, Centauri upset three-time defending state champion Lyman 24-21 to win their first state title. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, coming up, we'll have some of the highlights from the Broncos' win over the Chargers yesterday. Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
Sam and Fruta this morning.
All right, Sam. Samuel, how are you doing this morning, sir?
All I can say is wow.
I know. They are the Forrest Gump box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get game to game. You don't know if you're going to get the team that beat the Chargers yesterday or the ones that went to Dallas. Those guys, or the one that played like hot garbage against Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. You don't know who you're going to get. It's fun in a way, but it's also maddening that they keep playing. They keep doing this to us, Sam.
The potential is there. I mean, they've proven that, and you just have to wonder what happens on those off days. I mean, watching that game yesterday, I mean, my wife says, you're going to have a stroke.
No, let's not.
Don't do that.
Screaming and hollering. It was, I can't remember seeing a game that good in a long time.
Well, the Dallas game.
That wasn't that long ago,
but.
This, after the Philadelphia game, this one was so much more impressive.
Well, they ran the ball. They put pressure on Justin Herbert. And look, where people may not be happy with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he was getting ripped yesterday for standing away from his teammates, and we'll have the presser to talk about that. Guy came back in, leg injury, didn't turn the ball over. What happened yesterday? Drew Lock, for all those clamoring for Drew Lock, and I get it. Drew hasn't gotten reps. I understand that. But why in the hell did he try to make that throw? What was he... Derwin James made a great play, but it was a dumb throw by Drew Lock, and that's why you can't trust him.
Yeah, it's he just cemented the idea or the reason why he is not the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
When Bridgewater went down and Lock came in, I thought, oh, man, and we were going to win this game, too.
It's looking good. It's looking good for a while.
My head is really off to Bridgewater. He toughed it out, got in there, and he didn't throw for hundreds of yards, but he controlled the ball, he led the team. It wouldn't have happened if he hadn't came back in. I just know it wouldn't have.
Because
Locke doesn't have it in him.
Because there would come a point where they'd have a drive where they couldn't run the football, they'd be forced to go to the air with Drew Lock. And Drew Lock would make that stupid throw, like he did on that play, where it's there. I think he was trying to get it to Kendall Hinton, I believe, was the receiver he's looking for.
That sounds right.
And then, but there was Derwin James had it played well. Throw the ball away, Drew, or just tuck it and run and get what you can get out of it. It's like, what are you trying to do? There was no way he's going to complete that pass. Those are the bonehead things that he does that keep him from being this team's starting quarterback. And give Teddy credit for, after as much as he got maligned for the business decision that he made against Philadelphia and not tackling Darius Slay, give him credit for coming back yesterday with the shin injury and you know, let him on that last touchdown drive. Give the guy credit, because you know, he was obviously, it was hurting him, and for him to come back in the game, I think says a lot about who Teddy Bridgewater really is.
Yeah, he toughed it out, and you know, watching him after that injury, he was gimping around quite a bit, but he still got out there and he did the job. My hat's off to him.
Yeah, let's, you know, while I didn't like his answer after what happened, you know, with the Philadelphia game in that situation, it was a bunch of BS what he said, that, you know, I was trying to turn him back inside. No, you weren't. You didn't want to make a play. And okay, fine, but don't BS us about it. I thought yesterday he, you know, definitely helped to wash away some of the stink of that situation by the way he played yesterday. And I'm like, the numbers were not startling, eye popping, but he got him in the end zone. He didn't turn the ball over yesterday. And the, you know, that's the Denver defense that we thought we'd see throughout the course of the season, Sam. We saw it in the Dallas game. We've seen it at times. Certainly saw it in the first three games of the season. Nice to see them do that against an offense that has been tearing it up lately with Justin Herbert.
You know, and I'm optimistic about next weekend. Granted, it's been a long time since the Broncos have beat the Chiefs. And Sunday night games are never good, but boy, the way they played yesterday, if they could carry that into next week, you know, at least I know they're not going to get run out of the building.
I'd hope so. If their defense can play like that, they'll have a chance.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fun to see yesterday. So, who would you give a game ball to? Offense, defense?
Sertan's got to get it for that. Yep. The defense, and you know, I'd almost give it to Teddy just because he toughed it out.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yep.
Yeah, you could give it to Pookie. Javonte Williams was really good yesterday. Pookie needs the ball more. Get Pookie the football. Keep feeding that guy. Keep feeding him.
Yeah.
All right, Sam. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in today.
Take care.
All right. There's Sam from Fruita today. A happy Sam from Fruita today. Just Sam, we don't want any heart issues. I mean,
we don't want any medical events.
No kidding.
At the behest of the Broncos.
No, we don't want that. No.
Although they are more than capable of triggering some sort of aortic
That they can do. All right, 7:27. We'll talk more about the game, some of the highlights heading your way in just a little bit. So text or call today. Game balls, if you want to pass one out today, offense, defense. If you want to pass out multiple ones today, that's fine. Certainly, look, PS2, number one guy in defense. Great game yesterday. Justin Simmons has started to play up to his contract the last three games.
Agreed.
Starting to look more like the kind of player that people like Pro Football Focus viewed as the top safety in the league heading into the season. You know, I thought Caden Stearns stepping in for Kareem Jackson did a good job yesterday. You know, those rookie guys. How about the offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Where... I mean, they were down to Lloyd Cushenberry III is their the only, you know, week one starter on that offensive line, because Calvin Anderson goes down. I fell for Calvin Anderson, who started to develop into a really nice option at one of the tackle spots. You know, in there once again for Garrett Bowles, Reisner goes down. You know, they're just, you know, it's a patchwork offensive line with, you know, the rookie Quinn Miners in there.
Quinn Bailey off the practice squad.
Yeah, Quinn Bailey, the other Quinn.
The other guy.
The mighty Quinns in there.
You have two Quinns and a Lloyd on your offensive line. Yeah. That should tell you all you
and
need to know.
And a Cam Fleming. And Broncos offensive line got it done yesterday. Well, they very much a patchwork group. All right, so text or call us 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:33. Jim along with Cake, Tyler Franzen, in for Buckeye today.
Plan day off.
Like a Veterans Day. It's a Veterans Day for him.
There you go.
So, I imagine, are you playing it because of the Peter Jackson documentary?
I loved it.
Yeah, I don't have Disney Plus. I may have to think about that to watch it.
It's a bit of a marathon because it's three parts, and each part is anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours long.
Ooh.
But it is very well done. It is a very intimate, very close portrayal of the Beatles, and it kind of shatters the notions that we may have had about the Beatles and their breakup.
Like it was Yoko Ono's fault.
She was a fly on the wall in this thing. She had virtually nothing. The only way you can sort of maybe say it was quote unquote Yoko's fault is that it was kind of like Paul is watching John, his dear friend and closest up to this point, collaborator, sort of leaving his first love of the Beatles for his second love, Yoko Ono. But it's this weird transitional phase. But it was such a good documentary series. If you do have Disney Plus, highly recommend it.
Yeah, the McCartney 3-2-1 is really good on Hulu, where Paul McCartney mm-hmm. with Rick Rubin goes through a lot of how the Beatles songs, how they were constructed. And there's obviously lots of stories behind it that Paul shares. And so it's, if you get a chance, if you have Hulu, I feel like we're plugging all these streaming places and not getting anything out of it. But if you're a Beatles fan, it's another really good one to check out with Rick Rubin, who obviously has produced everybody from the Beastie Boys to Metallica.
I think he's produced Eminem too. Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's cool to hear this guy that's this legendary producer with Paul McCartney talking about some of the recording techniques and things that they did back in the day. All right, so game balls for the Broncos. Patrick Surtain obviously deserves one on the defensive side.
Obviously.
Who else on the defensive side?
Whoa. I'd go with Justin Simmons. I know that's a little bit of a safe choice, but
that's a solid one.
He played well. Browning.
Kenny Young played well.
Kenny Young.
You know who's been maligned a lot and actually led the Broncos yesterday in tackles?
Who?
Kyle Fuller.
And he was actually getting pretty maligned in the game yesterday, too.
At points, yeah. I would say a couple of times I was fair, to be fair, about criticizing how he played, but he led Denver in tackles yesterday. Denver's front seven played really well. From Kenny Young, Stephen Weatherly continues to be a really smart addition that George Payton made coming over from Minnesota.
And I love the sort of Eric Dickerson glasses look that he has.
Got the rec spec thing going
underneath the helmet. It works for him. I like it.
Yeah, their front seven, Deshaun Williams played really well. McTelvin Agim had a sack, played well yesterday, and he's a guy that has not really been able to break into that rotation a lot on the defensive front.
No.
But front seven played well. They were constantly in Justin Herbert's face yesterday. I mean, Herbert, look at the numbers, 303, a couple touchdowns, but he got picked off twice. Of course, those two picks by Patrick Surtain. They did a really good job of shutting down the L.A. running game. They only had 72 yards on the ground. Denver rushed for 147. Melvin Gordon people like to criticize Gordon. And I still feel like Javonte Williams is the guy that should be the lead back, the bell cow guy. But this 1-2 punch has kind of turned into what we were hoping it would be. The veteran Melvin Gordon, usually good around the red zone. Yesterday it was Javonte Williams. Williams is the guy, though, that comes up with the special plays.
He does.
Breaks three or four tackles. Like Melvin Gordon, can catch the ball out of the backfield, is so effective out of the backfield in the screen game and just, running.
He had a great one the other day.
Yeah. And so, when you look at the receiving core, Williams was the guy that led them in receiving. Three catches, 57 yards yesterday.
Most of that coming on one play, though. But
yeah, but it was a pretty balanced day in terms of distributing the football. Tim Patrick had a couple catches, 26 yards. Cortland Sutton, just a couple for 17. Jerry Jeudy, who really has not come back to being the Jerry Jeudy that we know he's capable of being. Hasn't happened yet for this team. Couple catches, 25 yards.
However, I saw a stat that said the Broncos are 4-1 this year when Judy plays. So there you go.
Great to have him back. He's been back now for a few games, and Denver gets the win yesterday. Let's take you through the highlights where the Broncos get it started. Teddy Bridgewater, who Adam Archuleta had to constantly remind us yesterday, he's not much of a runner. Okay, I get that, Adam. And there's truth to what he's saying.
However.
But after a while, you're just like, okay, I don't need to hear this again. But Teddy uses his legs and not his arm to get the Broncos into the end zone to open up the football game.
Bridgewater bounces out, has some room to run, pumps once, running right, inside the five. Bridgewater leads the football to the pylon, and no signal yet. Touchdown, Denver! Teddy Bridgewater, an 11-yard scamper to the northeast corner. Leaned the football to the pylon as he stayed in bounds and actually touched the pylon. And Denver on the board first with 4:31 left in this opening quarter. It's the Broncos 6, the Chargers nothing.
Yeah, TB5 with a rushing touchdown.
How about that?
An impressive play by Teddy Bridgewater. So the Broncos have the 7-0 lead. They make it 14-0, where the aforementioned Pookie, Javonte Williams, gets into the end zone.
Third down and goal. Locke with three receivers wide left, Sutton wide right, runs it. Javonte Williams right up the gut and into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver!
So the Broncos have a 14-0 lead. Chargers come back. They cut it to 14-7. And then, you know, of course, the injury to Teddy Bridgewater, a shin injury.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Drew Locke. Drew Locke nearly gets strip sacked and, you know, fumbles a football. Fortunately, they don't turn it over. But then ultimately, he throws the interception to Derwin James. And you're going, yikes.
Oh, here we go.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Here we go.
But fortunately, TB5 gets back into the football game. And while the Broncos offense in the third quarter was terrible.
And he still looked a little dinged up. He still looked like he was kind of limping a little bit.
Denver gets a Teddy Bridgewater touchdown pass. Derek Saubert, where he does a nice job of fending off Joey Bosa to hang in there to get the touchdown pass.
Bridgewater, play pass, rolls to his right. Bridgewater can run if he wants to, throws the ball to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver! Eric Saubert cradles the football to the ground, gets up and spikes it. And the Broncos extend their lead with 8:54 left in this fourth quarter. It's now Denver 20, Los Angeles 7.
Chargers get one more touchdown. Of course, a couple of Justin Herbert touchdown passes. But then PS2 puts the exclamation point on a Broncos win over the Chargers.
Eckler this time empties right. So three right, two to the left. Denver will rush four this time, not five. Quick throw to Eckler, deflected and intercepted. Pass Surtain down the west sideline. This may be a house call. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Denver. 70 yards for Pat Surtain.
All right, Dave Logan on the call on all those highlights, 850 KOA. Broncos in Sunday Night Football taking on the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Chiefs coming off the bye week. 6:20 kick for that Sunday on the Team Sports Network.
And a couple things. So on that Saubert touchdown, if you look at the replay, Bridgewater may have been aiming for Noah Fant in the back.
Because Noah Fant's got a diving for because he looks like he's open.
Up. Yeah. And so and then Saubert just kind of got it. And I believe I heard that was Saubert's first career touchdown catch. But if someone wants to double check me on that, I'd be okay with that. But I think that was his first ever NFL reception or NFL touchdown.
I believe that is correct. We will double check that.
We'll get our crack research team on that. And by that, I mean me.
I was just taking a look at it here to see if he actually had caught a touchdown. That would be his first career touchdown.
There you go.
It was Atlanta, Chicago, Jacksonville, did not catch a touchdown there. Catches his first with the Broncos yesterday.
All right. There you go.
So now the stage is set. Can Denver snap with the 11-game losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs?
For a chance at first place in the AFC West.
So you're saying there's a chance.
God, this team.
Yeah.
If you have heart conditions, don't bother.
Goodness gracious. If you have a little issue with the ticker, This may not be your football team.
Those with hypertension, high blood pressure, or any sort of malady, just at your own risk. Watch at your own risk. Such a bipolar, up and down roller coaster. They start 3-0, then they drop 4, then they win 1. They get that big Cowboys win, then they lose to the Eagles. They go on our bye week, and then they beat the Chargers. And now there's a log jam for second place in the AFC West with everybody at 6-5, except Kansas City, who's 7-4. And if the Broncos win, that puts them in first place at 7-5 in the AFC West.
Just goofy. Just goofy.
Nothing makes sense.
All right. Got two from Jim this morning. Good morning, Jim, on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, 970-242-1340. Let's see. First, go blue. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, boy.
Excited about Michigan. They looked really good against Ohio State. They played really well.
They won. First time in 10 years.
You don't know what team is going to show up about the Broncos. Pound of the Cowboys and get blown out by the Eagles.
Exactly.
Very, very true.
Just don't know.
Let's see. From middle school Mike, what game did you guys watch? Bridgewater's numbers were crap. He led 2 scoring drives. Lock led 1. The defense scored 1. The sole reason we won was the defense and Williams and Gordon. We're going to get blown out next week, but rest assured Teddy will pad his numbers in garbage time. Did you or I say that Teddy had this brilliant game?
He really didn't. And,
no.
And by the way, Locke led the touchdown drive. Sorry, middle school Mike, but you just admitted that it was the run game that ultimately led to that late touchdown drive with Pookie running in for the end zone. So I would say, no, Drew Locke did not lead that touchdown drive. And he turned it over late to
give. He nearly turned it over twice yesterday.
And the one where he did throw the interception led to an L.A. drive that made it a 1-touchdown game going into the locker room with L.A. getting the ball back to start the second half, which means they had pretty much all of the momentum in their favor up until the defense stepped up. So you're right. The defense was pretty much...
Yeah, the defense is the reason they won yesterday in the running game.
No one's arguing with that.
But Teddy was 11 of 18, 129. Touchdown run, touchdown pass. What's the number that we don't have there? Didn't throw a pick. Didn't fumble the football. Look, do they need a better answer at quarterback than either one of those guys? Yes, they do. Let's just be honest about that. But right now, your better answer is Teddy Bridgewater because he doesn't turn it over, Mike. I know you love Drew and you want Drew to be in there. But Drew's had opportunities to come in.
He's had chance after chance.
And he's played like garbage when he comes in. Okay, he was 4-7, 26 yards, but that pick was a horrible pick. It was a dumb decision by Drew Locke. You can't sit here and defend that. There was no reason he should have thrown that football. And you're trying to maintain the lead in that situation. Was he? He turns it over, they go down and score. Nobody's saying that Teddy put this team on his back. But boy, you just got that feeling yesterday when he was out of the game. This thing could get away from Denver.
And it almost did. But then he came back.
But thank goodness their defense played as well as they did yesterday.
Thank God for Pat Sertan. Yeah.
Nobody's saying that Teddy Bridgewater went out and put this team on his back.
11 for 18 for 120 yards.
But let's give him credit where credit's due. Had the shin injury, came back in. Through the touchdown, it had Joey Bosa, coming at him.
Yeah,
I'm just let's give him some credit where credit's due. He guided them on touchdown drives. He didn't turn the ball over, and the defense got the job done yesterday. When Drew Locke comes in, you constantly are holding your breath, going, "What's he going to do now?" But Teddy, you don't get that feeling. I'm sorry, you just don't.
Right.
They need a better answer quarterback for 2022. Let's just be honest about that. Neither one of these guys are the answer.
No.
As much as at one point I'm like, Teddy will be 29 and maybe, and it's like, no. I like Teddy. Teddy's the better of the options that they have right now. He is.
But that's right now.
That's right now. That's as this team is currently constructed. Not what this team could look like, what they may go out and do in 2022. They have to get better at that position if they're going to legitimately be a playoff contender going forward. It's got to get better. And the answer is neither of the guys that are on there, any of the guys, even, I'm sorry, Brett Rypien, sorry, none of the guys in their roster are that guy. All right, 749, Jim along with Cake today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Cake?
Very brief sound check today. Last night, Sunday night football, Ravens and Browns. Kind of an ugly game, but...
Bad weekend for the Buckeye boy on that front.
Yeah.
Ohio State and...
And Cleveland.
And Cleveland.
Yeah.
But some other good things for him, which I don't...
He'll probably tell us tomorrow.
I'm not going to talk about. That supersede all the bad stuff from the weekend.
Anywho. That's what we call a tease in the industry.
Didn't mean to interrupt there. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Miles Garrett, of course, we all know Sunday Night Football. They do the player intros where they introduce themselves. Tyler Francis, Colorado-based University. Miles Garrett doing his best. Ron Burgundy.
I'm Miles Garrett. Texas A&M.
That's good.
I'm Miles Garrett.
I'm Miles Garrett. Texas A&M.
The only knock I have on that is that that's not quite original because Tony Gonzalez did the same thing when he was in Atlanta on a Sunday night game back then, where he also was like, I'm Tony Gonzalez. So it's not quite
original.
Come on, Miles. But it's still funny.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Text or call us. Game balls to the Broncos today. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. 970-242-1340. The Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We'll have around the NFL. We'll even go back to Thanksgiving Day. Three big games on Thanksgiving Day. So we'll look back at all the action from around the NFL. Also, Broncos coach Vic Fangio will have his post game with the media over in Denver after the win over the LA Chargers yesterday. So game balls, who gets them for the Broncos yesterday? Text or call us 970-242-1340. See, we've got one from AJ. Drew is best holding a clipboard. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. That's it's about the only thing he can hold on to.
Yeah, I get it that there are those of you that want Drew Lock to pan out.
Don't blame you.
And it hasn't panned out. So send more of your text in today. The good, the bad, the ugly. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.